Okay, what we're going to do now is upload pages to the web. Okay, so we have here, first of all, there's a series of directions here in the week of. Okay, I'm going to go over those, but that's the directions, so that if you want backup information, that's there. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to go into WinSCP. Okay, so WinSCP is something that allows me to log into the server, okay, and put information up on the server. WinSCP is something you can download for free at home. And back on my page, there's the link to go and download it for free. Okay, so you can download it and have it at home so that you can upload from home if you want to, or you can bring stuff in and upload from here. It doesn't matter. Okay? So, the big thing that you have to do is you have to put in the host name. And the host name is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, so it is C, okay. cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Now, in my notes, I say bristol.mass.edu. They have changed it to bristolcc.edu, okay? And it used to be that they supported both of them, so it didn't matter. But now they would like, starting this semester, they want people to use bristolcc.edu. So again, my notes say bristol.mass.edu. They want you to use bristolcc.edu. Okay? So I'm typing that in, bristolcc.edu. And then I'm going to type in my Linux username. So the regular username that you use to log on, you're going to type in there. Okay, so you're going to type in your regular username and your password, which are what we call the Linux password. And you will have a number on yours. I don't. So, but your username has a number on it. Okay, so you are going to type in your username and your password. And I'd go ahead and do this. And then click on login. Okay? It will come up and give you this continue. And you continue and you're in. Okay? So this is the server over here. This is the server. This is your computer. Okay, so we've got the server out there, and we've got your computer out there. And... Pardon? Okay.
It's the CIS web password that was sent in the email earlier on.
Yes.
So this password is going to be different than the
one I don't think so. I think it's the Linux one.
Because they had given me in the email a completely string of numbers and letters, upper and lowercase, for the CIS web.
Okay, then use that.
Right. So it should be in everybody's PCC email.
Yeah. I could have sworn they told me they were going to do the same one.
I wish, because now I've got to remember this thing.
Okay. So, apparently, from what he said, they have sent you a different CIS web password. The whole purpose of life, I thought, was they were going to try to minimize the number of passwords. So you should have gotten a CIS web password, apparently. So that's what you're using. Sorry about that. I swear I was told, but obviously I'm wrong. It's which one? Is anybody getting in now all right?
You should be able to get in on the same computer. Anyone else need help getting in? All right.
We'll look and see for Is anybody getting in?
Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah, because I got mine a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, what's the thing?
You should have added.
Firefox is taking a decade to load.
And then it's going to give you a string of numbers.
Anyone else?
Okay, what is it? What does the login say? CIS word or CIS web server Linux account. Okay, so I lied. You don't, it's not your standard password. You have to go to the email that you got that says CIS web login. What was the date on that one?
August 3rd.
August 3rd. So go back and look, in August 3rd apparently was the date that it was sent out. Now, if you weren't enrolled, yours will come later, probably.
Yes.
But August 3rd, and you have this, well, no, it looks like they're actually getting in there.
Anyone else?
So you found yours, all right.
So I don't have the email here.
I assume so. If it says yes, CIS web login. Anything, if the email says CIS web login information, then that's what you're looking for. Okay.
So this thing says I'm supposed to change my password. I did that. It says I'm not allowed to
try again. Try, how'd you log into this thing? The regular.
This is just from AccessBC.
So yeah, exactly. Okay. That should be the same password.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, they said there was something like access.
And you did?
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Can you get in with the password? Oh, it's Bristol CC.
Can't really go down any farther.
Do you have access to your CC email?
Yeah, I do.
I would check there first, and then
it's all good. I hit a computer.
It's ridiculous.
What time? This email is sent to your CIS So you're looking for an email that was sent you. You're in, I guess. Looks like a victory. CISweb.bristolcc.edu.
It should be CIS login information, something like that.
It's actually right up here if you look up there. CISweb.bristolcc.edu is the host.
What's this guy?
What is it?
The test log right there.
Okay, what's your in?
Do you have your email?
You should have it in there.
Once you're in, you're going to hit public HTML because you need to be in public HTML. So you're going to click on public HTML once you're in. Once you're in that far, and then we'll go around and help people still, you can drag and drop anything you want from your computer up here. And what you want to drag and drop is something with an HTML extension, a web page that you wrote. If you look up here where it says My Documents, you can obviously go and find other drives. So you can find your flash drive up there if you have it on your flash drive. Or you can find a T drive if you have things on a T drive. But you can... go in here and pick the drive that you have things on and drag them over and they will be on the server.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay,
who is not in?
So this is the server here. This is the computer that you're currently using. So you're going to double-click the public HTML.
Are you in?
So this is where you can drag and drop all your files. You can navigate through the computer from there, and then you would just basically move your pages over.
Anybody else?
Okay, once you're in, as I said, you have to click on public HTML and go inside public HTML. Okay? Now you can see, obviously, that when you go into my site, I have a gazillion folders. They're not necessary, but if you want to make a folder, you can come over here and say File, New, and make a folder. It's called a directory. So File, New, Directory. So I'm going to make a directory, and I'm going to call it CIS120F14. Okay? So I went in under File, New, and I can create a directory. Click on Create Directory.
Just do this
every semester, so F14 tells me when I did it. Okay? So, I can then click OK, and I have just made a folder. Okay, so you can now see my folder sitting here, CIS120F14. Then if I click on that folder, it brings up an empty area, and now I can go and find something to put up there. And let's see, I have a list HTML. So I'm going to drag that over and say copy it, and I now have list HTML on my server. Okay? And then if I want to put another thing, I can drag this intro HTML over and copy that. Okay, so just click on the copy, and I've copied that. And I can drag the other one that I have over and copy that. Okay, so I can drag a lot, anything that I've created over there. It's now out on the server. So that means you can access it from any place in the world. because it's up there on the server for you to be able to access. Okay? So, put at least one thing up there so that we can then go in and find it. So, I'm bringing up Firefox now. And I'm making it like that so that I can see what's up here as I type in the address. Okay? So the address that I'm going to put in is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, so that's the first thing that I have to put in is the host. I have to tell it what is hosting this. And it's cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, and that's the same thing that you typed when you were going in to the host. Okay. Then I type a slash and a tilde. And the tilde is that curly line that's right underneath escape. So I'm typing slash and a tilde.
Is it like... Shift that button.
I'll have him come over just a sec, okay? Pat, when you get a chance.
I'll be right over.
Okay. And then you type your username. Now, notice up at the top here, it has home and public HTML. Those are not part of the address. The tilde takes care of that part. So I just put in the tilde, and I type P. Grosser. You are going to have two numbers after it because you're typing your username. Then, because I made a folder, I have to put the name of the folder. CIS120F14. If you did not make a folder, then you don't have to do that part.
You have to put a backslash after your username?
Yes. Each part is separated with a backslash. So it's cisweb.cc.edu/tildepgrosser/ the folder name, and then slash. And now I am going to put up one of my HTML pages. And there it is. So there is my page. Okay? So again, the address is
case-sensitive?
Yes, very.
What if I put spaces between the folders and the words? Do I have to put them in the address bar? Or?
Yeah. Okay, rule number one. If you put a space up there between your names, get rid of it. It's better not to have embedded spaces in your names. If you do, yes, you have to put them up there. The easiest thing is to go in, and I'll show you in just a second how to do that, but the easiest thing is to go in and do a rename and just get rid of the space. Okay, so I have here cisweb.bristolcc.edu/tilde username. Slash directory or folder slash file dot html. And this is only if you made one. Okay. So it's cisweb.bristolcc.edu/tilde your username /directory if you made a directory or folder, / your file name. If you didn't make a directory, then you just skip this and put / file name. And it works fine.
This is how we submit the homework.
So when you're, well, the first homework, actually, you were sending me the thing.
File.
Yeah, but actually, I guess I don't care, so it's one after this way, I guess I don't care. No, I agree. I guess the reason I was saying that was I wanted to make the point that you have to submit the picture along with it, but anyway. I guess I don't care. So, when you are sending me something that you put up on the server, okay, what you need to do is copy this address and send it to me. And then I can put that address in my browser and I can see your webpage.
So,
okay, but you've got to tell me what your address is.
So this is how, like, I think you might understand this. This is how you want us to display it to you.
Well, my assignment from the first week was to send it to me. And this week, the assignment is now get it up on the web. And now get it up on the web. So it was actually two different weeks. I guess I don't care if you just send it to me.
So just put it in the server and then send you that
right.
Just via email.
Now, what about if you have an image, though?
We're due on Thursday.
You got to put the image up in the server, too. So if you have an image, that image has got to go up on the server, and we run into the same address problems that we ran into before.
Is it like a second one that we're talking about?
No, you just, okay, I'll do it in a minute.
So after that,
okay, let me get through this and then I'll get to images, yeah.
Last week we talked about index, and you could just put in index and that would know that that's your home page,
yes.
No matter what it was.
Yep.
So within the file folder here, could you just put an index instead of the file name?
Yes, but in that case, I probably wouldn't use directory.
Right, you do like a
I put the index in the home, so I probably wouldn't use directory. Now, when you logged in, did you see an index file sitting there?
Yeah.
So that may be a problem, because I'm not sure whether you've got the rights to change that index file. I don't quite know.
That might be why my not showing up at all.
Well, as long as you put in the address, it should be showing up as well. Okay, so you've got...
I wanted to turn the lights up because it was bright and
now, go back inside the let's do a reading.
So what we're going to do actually is target.
We're going to jump on the
if you put spaces in your folder or in your file name, I'd get rid of them. Because, in fact, as I've said before, that's something I curse Microsoft for on a regular basis, adding spaces to names. Okay? Most of the world doesn't like it. It works. It's just not as clean. So if you click on anything and just right-click, it comes up with rename. And you can use rename to get rid of any spaces that you put in.
I uploaded my file to the server and I typed in the address on Firefox, and for some reason it's not found.
Okay. I will take a look at it, or Pat can take a look at it in just a minute.
That's fine. Okay, so try finding your page.
I remember that when I put it all together.
Okay, so you have a folder called CIS120, and you've got my HTML.html. If you don't have anything with you, you can download one of mine and save it and then put it up. I'm going to have Pat look at that and see if he can see what it is. My solution is retype it. Just make it go away, do it over again, and see if flying saucers was a problem. Okay? Flying saucers definitely can. Okay, that has to be inside public HTML, so just drag it down. And now if you go into public HTML.
And this folder is going to be for anyone?
Yeah, you can make it for anything. And right now you don't have a folder. Go back up, you've just got a page. Go back up, there's a page in there. If you want it in a folder. Yeah, so right now you can bring it up just with the page. Although actually I guess that's a folder. Okay, so click on that folder. Double click on it. And now the folder's open, so now you can put in the page. Drag the page in.
So when I send it,
I want the address. What I want to be able to do when you send it to me is I want you to send me the address.
All right.
And then I can open that address in my browser and see your page. So I want you sending me the address. Okay? And I don't want to go fiddling around and trying to find what you called. You know, I can do the first part, but I can't do the second part because I don't know what you mean. I want the whole address like the one that I wrote up there. I want the whole address sent to me. So just go in and you get the web page up, copy and paste, and send me the address. Now, it may put an HTTP in front of it, depending on what you're copying from, and that's fine because I'm going to have to have the HTTP anyway.
All right.
There. Okay?
Great.
So that is it. Now, if you don't have a page, you can go to my website and I can download a page. Okay, so I'm going to come in here and I'm going to pick the page with images. Okay, so I'm going to go in here and I'm going to print CSS image. Okay, so I'm going to do a file, save page as, and I'll put it on my flash drive. So that's introduction.html. Then I can click on the link and say save image as. Okay, so if you're downloading mine, this has an image in it. So you've got to download the image as well. So I'll say save image as, and I will put that on my flash drive as well. So now I'm going back over to the server, and I am going to my flash drive and saying put up introduction.html and put up my image, which is CISA GIF.html. Okay? Now, I have put these in the same directory. So, if I go and click on introduction HTML, right-click it and say edit. That shows me the code. So if I right-click on anything you've got up there and say edit, it shows me the code. And I see that my image source is actually in a folder here. Okay? And that's not what I want. So I'm going to take it out of the folder and just have the name there. Okay, so there's the name of CISA GIF. Because I put them in the same folder, they have the same name. I mean, they have just the name. So now if I come over to my website and I say, all right, I want to see cis.bristol.cc.edu/tildpgrosser/cis120f14/ introduction with a capital I and okay, what did I do? Somehow I didn't save that when I made the change. Okay, and I do that all the time. I made this change. I didn't save it. That little disk up there doesn't save, and if it's bolded, that tells me I didn't save it. So I made the change, but I didn't save it. So since I didn't save it, it didn't accept the change. So now I'm going to go back in, I'm going to do a refresh on this, and there's my image. Okay? I don't purposely make these mistakes, but it's really good because you're going to make them too. So at least that way you can figure out what you're doing wrong. That's right, exactly. Or how to fix them when you obviously are going to. I mean, that's the biggest challenge in computing, really, is you keep making mistakes and you keep having to fix them. Okay? And long ago, I learned to not to accept the fact that I'm not perfect. So I make mistakes all over the place, and you need to accept the fact that you're not perfect either, folks. Okay, so that's how I can get the image. I would go ahead and try that if you want to. Download that page, download the image, put them up, and get them working. Okay, because if you can get that working, then you really understand what's going on here. So give it a try. Question.
Can you put it out on this or show me how to take it out of the file and put the image in.
Well, what I did is I just saved them. I went into my website.
Yeah, I saved it. I already have it in the directory, so you have to take it out of the folder from this.
Okay, wait a minute. You've got it in the directory? Okay, then maybe.
Because I just went in and saved it in my flash drive.
Yeah, well,
Now, if I decided I wanted to not have CISA GIF there, so I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to make a directory, file, new directory, and I'm going to call it My Images. So I just made a folder called My Images. And I am putting CISA GIF inside that folder. So I now have CISA GIF inside My Images. Okay, stop talking for a minute and listen to what I'm saying, okay? I made a folder called My Images. And then I dragged CISA GIF into My Images. So it's sitting there. Now I've got to go back to Introduction and tell Introduction that I want to edit it, and I'm going to have to put My Images / CISA GIF there. Because now I want it to drop down to a folder underneath, and I want it to grab My Images. Okay? So now I'm going to come over here and refresh that. Okay? And do, what did I not do? I didn't save. You're not supposed to make the same stupid error 5 times in a row, but I do. So there, I now have it, and it is going up here to My Images to get the image. So I changed that so that it is now going up there to get the image. You don't have to do any of that. If you're not comfortable with it, you can put everything at the root of the public HTML. But if you want to make it a little bit more sophisticated, then you can start getting into the folder and directory idea. Now, this is your area. So you can put homework up here. I have some people that instead of sending me homework for a lot of different assignments, they'll put it up here on the server and just send me the address. Okay? Because you can store things other than HTML up there, and I can just download it when I get there. So you can experiment with it, but make sure before you send it to me, you send it to yourself and make sure it's going to get it and it's going to work. Okay? But you can store, this is now your storage area on our server. And so you can use this to store whatever you want on our server. Okay, so this is your storage area.
Just curious, after, let's say you graduate, it's still there.
I think it stays for a semester, or it may not even be a semester. It's done. we will tell you as you graduate.
Move your stuff.
Yeah, move your stuff. Anything you want to keep, you're going to have to either download and save it on some device, or else you're going to have to buy a server or get a free, buy a place or get a free place. There's a lot of free storage out there that you can store quite a lot on. Okay, questions? Everybody's comfortable with this? Yeah.
Is there a command to make the image smaller or bigger enough?
Yes, you can go and look up height and width, and you can put in on the image the height and width.
Same line as the image line?
Yeah. What I actually suggest doing, and in fact professionally it gets suggested, is that if you have a lot of images and you adjust the height and width in the page, then it takes longer to load. So I would suggest going into Paint or something like that, making a decreasing the size there, saving it under a different name, and then using that image.
Change the file itself.
Change the file itself. There is a real feeling that if you've especially got multiple images on a page, and it has to readjust height and width every time it loads the page, then it really slows down the loading. And if you have the image concrete, then it doesn't. So the recommendation is to go into something like Paint, change the size of the image, give it a new name, and use that image if you've got a big image. Okay. Okay, questions? Okay. Then I claim we all know HTML. So I claim we're now going to move on. Okay. In addition to the fact that you got this password, you also should have gotten a DreamSpark password. And that came out this week. Yep. You should have gotten it. Check your different emails. Because, as I said, it used to be very simple. Everything went to Bristol CC. But if it didn't go to Bristol CC, then it may have gone someplace else. Okay, and if you still don't have it, you can send me an email and I can see if it's on, I can send it to, or you can go into the help desk.
And yeah, I didn't get it yet, but they're still working on my email for Bristol CC. It's been weeks. I called them again yesterday, they're supposed to call me back today. So,
well, go talk to Eric Olson and ask him for the Dreams Backer now.
Certainly,
he's in the help desk starting at 2. And if you can be around 2:15 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I got a class upstairs that has that 140, so I'm sure.
And he's the one that I believe sends out the Dreams Backer accounts.
Okay, so they're working on an email, so I haven't got anything from that email yet.
They're still working on that?
Yeah, they messed up on my name in the end. They added at Microsoft.com. So it's like using it, so it won't have to log in. Some of my username doesn't exist.
Nice. Go ahead.
So I just put an image into, a little test HTML, and now it's made my ordered list. All the numbers are in a line on the left, but all the text is still in the header.
Try put it in a VR someplace after the image or after whatever, so that it goes down to a new line. Okay, so the reason I asked about DreamSpark is we're now going to start to look at Access. Okay, and Access is a Microsoft database. It's their low-end database. It's not a professional database, it's a low-end database. And in fact, they've kind of having issues supporting it on the web. But it's usable. And it's a good thing to start with. And a lot of small companies use it. It's just not used by a big company. Okay, they will choose a different database system. So we're going to start looking at databases. And what I want you to do is to download Access at home if you want to have it at home.
okay? And DreamSpark will let you do that. Okay, so DreamSpark gives you access to a lot of Microsoft products that you can download for free. And so if you go into DreamSpark, you can download these things and have them on your computer at home. Okay? So the DreamSpark will let you do that. Now, obviously, we're not doing that here because it's on our computers. So that's just a word of wisdom for at home. Okay. I want to open Access, so I'm going to go to File, Access 2013. Okay? So I'm going to open Access 2013.
Actually, I think I'm going to read the first chapter. I'm glad you brought the book. Yeah.
So we're going into Access 2013. So click on that and it will open. Okay. So here is Access 2013. Okay. I want to make a database. And I specifically, and where did I lose my camera thing? I specifically want to make a blank desktop database. So I'm going to click on blank desktop database. Now the next thing that comes up is it lets you give it a name. Okay, so I am now going to change the name. I cannot change the extension. The extension is ACCDB. I can't change that, but I can change the name. So I'm going to call this, I'm going to do a student thing. So I'm going to call this Student ACCDB. Okay, you can call it anything you want to. I'm calling it Student ACCDB. And then I'm going to say Create. And it will now create it. So it is now coming up with the database. Now, what a database is it's an area to store data in that you need. So companies use it to store payroll information, to store inventory information. If you're in games, you're going to use it to store scores, keep track of where people are in the game, all of that kind of stuff. And so databases are used basically to store information you want access to tomorrow. Okay? So you're storing the information, if you want access to it, after you've turned off your computer. And so the database will retain the computer, or retain the information. Okay? So that's what a database is. Now, a database itself is made up of what are called tables. So the database is made up of a table. A table is similar to a file, but when it's a database thing, they tend to call it a table. Okay? So the database can have multiple tables in it. These tables interrelate usually if there's multiple. So if I were doing something about inventory, I might have a table that had my inventory items, a table that had my customers, a table that has orders, that kind of thing. So I would have multiple tables. We're going to start out just talking about one table in a database, and then later we'll put in a few others. Okay, now the table themselves are divided up into fields. Okay, and so I'm dividing those up into fields. So, for example, I might have an ID number field. I might have a name field. I might have address field. I have all of these different kinds of fields. Okay. So that's what we're going to do right now, is we're going to create a table. So, I'm not terribly fond of the way that they bring this up at the beginning. I don't like that particular layout as well as I like a different layout. So I say, go over here and click on this. Wait a minute. Design view. And we're going to call this, let's say, stew table. Stew table. And again, no embedded spaces. So I'm calling that stew table. And saying OK. And I am going to, this is the one I don't like, so I'm going to go over here and click on design view. Wait a minute. Why isn't it not giving me the what I want? Oh, it is. Sorry. It's fine. I guess I just... Essentially, I thought this went away, and I was wrong. It keeps it. I make it go away. So I'm going to call the first field name ID number. And I'm going to get rid of auto number and make it actually a short text. Okay? If you're not where I am... And again, you come over here and click on design view.
What did you make the field name?
I called it IDNO and made it short text. If you're not where I am, ask, put up your hand and Pat will come around. What you want to do is I'm setting up, this is my first field. Notice it says field name. That's my first field. So again, you're going into design view, okay, just to make that point. You come over here, click on that little arrow, and choose design view. Okay, so the next thing I want is a name. And I'm going to call it Stew Name. In the computer world, there are things like reserved words. And those reserved words have special meaning to the program that you're working with. And if you try to use one of those words, it sometimes gets upset. Name is one of those words. So I usually try to call name something other than name. Because name is definitely a word that has meaning to a lot of computers. A lot of times you are allowed to use it, a lot of times you aren't, so I just kind of get in the habit of not bothering to check, just not using it. Okay, I'm going to make this a short text too. Now notice what I've got on these short texts. If I click on the short text, it comes up down here at the bottom with what is called a field size. Well, 255 characters is kind of ridiculous for an ID number. Okay, right. It's not exactly what I want for an ID number. I'm going to make it a 5-digit ID number, so I'm changing that field size to 5. And I don't think most parents give a name of 255 characters either. So I'm going to change that also, and I'll make that, let's say, 40. Okay? So I've now made those two have more reasonable sizes. Okay. So now I'm going to call the next field major, because I'm going to put that person's major in there. And I'm going to make that also a short text. And I'm going to make that just two characters, because the major is just two characters.
Okay.
Then on the next one, I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to say number of courses. So just courses. And I'm going to make that a number. So I write the word number. Okay. Now, once I've chosen number, if I come down here, they will have something called long integer as the default. If I click here and then under field size and click on the arrow, I get lots of choices. Okay? So I can keep it a long integer. I can just make it an integer. An integer will be a shorter integer. I'm assuming you're not going to take 10,000 courses, so I will make that a just plain integer. And on the next one, I'm going to put in GPA. And make that also a number, but this I want to have as a decimal number. So I'm going to come down here and pick single. I could also pick decimal, but I like single better. Single means it's a small decimal number. Okay, GPA, the maximum is 4. So it's not going to be a big number. It's 4 point something something. 3 point rather, something, something, 2 point something, something. It's a decimal number. So I've set this up. So this, what I've done now is I have created the structure of my table. Okay? So every single record, and I think I forgot to put record in. Whoops. A table has records in it, and each record has fields. In fact, the table has fields that you see us setting up there. But each row is called a record. So it actually ends up that a row is called a record, because I put your record in, and then I put the next record in on the next row, and the next record in on the next row. And if you look at the fields, they really line up as columns. So they really line up kind of as columns. Okay, so I now have the structure of the table. Now I need to put data in. So I'm going to come out of here, and I'm going to basically, go over here and click this X over at the far right, and that closes and says, do you want to save the changes? And my answer is yes, I want to save the changes. So I say yes.
Okay.
So I have now created a table called Stu Table, and it has a structure to it. Now I want to go in, and so I'm going to double click on Stu Table, and it comes up and it tells me what my fields are. So I'm going to type in the data for record one going across there, and I am putting something in each of the fields. If I don't have something to put in the field, I don't have to, but I can put something into each field. And each record is going to have room for me to put something in each field. Each record is following the structure that I set up for the table. Okay? So my first person will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I can tab over John Costa, major CI, number of courses, 12, GPA, 3.5. Okay, so I have now filled in the first row or the first record. This is a record. Okay, so this is a row or a record. And going down here, you can see I'll put the next ID right underneath it. That's a field, or it can also be referred to as a column. Because they're all underneath each other making a column. Okay, so I'm now going to put in the next record. And then I'm putting in another record. And you can put in whatever you want to put in on these. I'll make her level less. Of records. The big thing that I want to do is have a little differences, so I want more than one major so that I can test for a major in a minute. I want some differences in those fields so that I can go in and say, I want to see everybody that has a GPA greater than 3.5 or something like that. So, I want to have different things in the columns. So, keep adding records if you don't have something different. But put in a couple of records. Okay, so this is my data. So, creating a table has two steps. One is to create the structure, and the other is to populate the table. Okay, so I'm now populating the page. This is data. So I have to create the structure for the data, and then I need to populate the table, which is put the data in. Now, out in the real world, there'd probably be a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand records in here. If you're going for a great big database, you're going to use something more like Oracle or SQL Server or something like that, as opposed to Access. Okay? But if you're a small mom-and-pop store, Access works fine. You know, it's easy to use, it's easy to work with, and it works fine. So, okay. Questions? Is everybody with me? If not, put up your hand so that Pat will come around. We definitely don't want Pat to get bored. Okay. Okay. So now I've got my table and I've got it populated. So again, I'm going to hit on the X and close it. okay? If I want to see the table at any point, I just double-click on it and it comes up. If I want to see the structure, I come over here and click. This basically is a toggle. If you notice, this little icon is a toggle. And when I click on one, I see the data. When I click on the other one, I see the structure. So I go back and forth here, and it's a toggle between seeing the data and seeing the structure. Okay? So, now I'm going to close it again. Okay, now I've got a database table that I've created. I've actually got a database. The database only has one table, but I've got a database, and it has one table in it. So now I'm going to come over here and say, all right, I want to create. Okay, so I'm clicking on the create up at the top. See where it says create? I'm clicking on create, and then I'm clicking on query design, not query wizard, query design. Okay, so I'm clicking on query design. And it comes up, and the first thing it does in query design is ask me what table I want to use. Well, I only have one table, so that's a pretty easy question to answer. So I click on the add down here, and then I close it. And I now have the table. And it very nicely lists out my structure. So I can see my fields here. Okay? So now I want to do a query. What a query is it's a way to ask questions about the database. I have thousands of records out on my database. I want to find all the CI majors, or I want to find everybody that has a GPA higher than a certain number. That's a query. If I want to find this information out, that's a query. So the first thing I do is I say, when I do the query, what data do I want to see? Well, I'm going to say I want to see all of it. So I'm bringing down ID number. I can double click on the field to bring it down. I can drag it down, or there is an arrow here that I can hit to make a choice there. So I have three ways of getting the data down here. I don't have to bring it down in the same order. So I can bring down the GPA now and the courses next if I want to see everything, but I want to see it in a different order. So right now I have set up a query. But I haven't asked any questions. I've just said I want to see everything, but in a different order. So what I've done now, if I go back to the toggle and click view, it's going to show me all of my records. But notice GPA is before courses now, because that was the order that I picked for the query. Okay, so GPA is... But now let's say that I only want to see the ones that have a major of CI. So I'm going to put CI underneath here. And I'm putting it in quotes. No double. I think it will take even. It will take even. And in fact, if you forget the quotes, it will fix it for you. Okay? Microsoft has a habit of fixing things, and sometimes that's nice. Sometimes that's not nice. You don't want them fixing things, but they have a habit of fixing things. So if I don't put quotes around the CI, it will fix things.
Now, why did I put a quote around CI? When I was declaring this major field, I made it a string or text field. I made it a string or a text field, which means it can include letters, numbers, or special characters. Okay, it's not a bear care, it was... No, it's a different thing. Let me show you. So that was a, I will get there in just a minute. It was a string field. Okay, so we're going to go back for a minute. And we're going to say, okay, stew table design view. Okay? See, I made it a short text field, which means, short text means it can have letters, numbers, or special characters.
It's similar, right?
It's similar. It's exactly the same concept. It's just called something different. Numbers can hold digits and decimal places.
Yeah.
Okay, numbers can hold digits and decimal places.
They can also hold a negative if they're a negative number. So what I do is I've got two kinds of data. I've got string or text data, and I've got numeric data. Those are my two kinds of data. So now I'm going to go back to where I was. Okay. This was a short text field. This was a short text field. Okay, quiet please.
How did you just get back right
there? How did I get back? I closed the other thing and I hadn't. If you don't have it, you'll have to create a query again. But I just had opened the other thing on top of it, so when I closed the other thing, it was still there. Okay. So this is a short text field. So when I ask a question about it, it has to be in quotes. It has to be in quotes. Now, if I were to ask about a numeric field, and you'll see that in a minute, that can't be in quotes. So when I'm talking about numbers, I leave them without quotes.
Just like Oracle.
Just like Oracle. Just like every database I've ever seen. And if you are talking about a text field, you put in quotes. Okay? So,
I put the quote there. And now I am going to click over here at View, and it shows me the results.
So I said I only wanted to see CI majors. So that's all it's showing me is CI majors. Okay?
So this is a query because it allows me to specify specific things I want to see. Okay? If I close this, I can save it, and I'm going to call it CI Majors, because that's what it is. And notice it will bring this new category over here called Queries, and it saves my CI Major query.
No spaces.
No spaces when you name things in anything. Okay, so now I'm going to create one more. So I go into Create, Query Design, Add This Field, Close, and this time I'm only going to bring down ID, Name, and GPA. And I'm going to say I want a GPA greater than 3.5. So I said here I want a greater than 3.5. On the CI, I could have written equal, but equal is the default. So if I don't put any sign as to what it should be, it assumes equal. So I said here greater than 3.5. And so if I come up here to the toggle and click on view, it shows me the two people that had a GPA greater than 3.5. So I'm now seeing those two people that had a GPA greater than 3.5.
And what is the last row there? Why does it put that in with the zero?
No, I don't know why they chose to do that. It's just if you wanted to write something on the record, you can actually do it. But I actually wish they hadn't. So I can't give you a good reason why they do that. Okay, I have run out of time, so I am done. Pat and I will be around in this room starting at 1:45 until we get thrown out, which is slightly after 3. At that point, we might be in K-118 if somebody needs us, or I'll be in my office, K-112. So if you're having problems, with this, don't worry about it yet, because we're going to do more of it tomorrow, Thursday. But if you're having problems with the HTML, come and see us. If you have problems with this, you might come and see us, that's fine. But, we're going to be going over it again another day. And we're going to actually stay for a few days on this.
You were just, you said, I just looked at my schedule. I have CSS. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to have it.
You don't have to. CSS 101?
On Friday.
Okay, you do not need CSS 101 if you are taking this course. CSS 101 is embedded in this course.
How do you withdraw from it?
You go over to the registrar's office and withdraw it. You should do it like soon. But I mean, you don't need a CSS course if you're taking this. Our department purposely embedded the courses so that people didn't have to take them. And in fact, you've already taken that survey, which we're going to build on, and you've already had to write about time management, and you've already had to write about learning styles. So that's the stuff they cover in CSS.
Now, we put that on our website.
Yeah, right. On the website, you have to have the stuff about learning styles, and you have to have the stuff about time management. And that's the kind of stuff they cover in CSS. Well, we're covering it kind of here.
Okay, so it's college success tomorrow. So I can cancel that.
So you can cancel that. Yep, because you're getting credit for having taken it, for taking this course.
So where is that, the registry?
Over in the cafeteria building, the registrar's office. If you go in and turn right, it's right beside the bookstore.
Okay.
It's a straight line instead of turning to the bookstore.
Yeah, who wants to go to the bookstore?
That's right.
Professor.
Yeah.
I got a question.
No, you're getting two databases.
I know. Well, it's
so. The one thing you start after the things that are again. You want us to just put up the. We have to upload images to the server under.
Right, because otherwise, how are they going to find it? Now, if you have an address, like in.